Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, and we pray that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for His first coming, and we pray that as we look back to the joy of this time in which we celebrate that we would also be expectant for Him to come again. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 39, but we'll be focusing our attention on verses 42 through 45. Luke chapter 1 at verse 39, but paying special attention to verses 42 through 45. Hear now the word of our God from Luke chapter 1 at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are going to begin a Christmas series looking at the five songs in Luke surrounding the birth of Jesus. We start, of course, with this one, the Song of Elizabeth, and next we'll come to the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, you know that, right? Then the Benedictus. You all know your Latin. The Song of Zechariah. And then, you know this one, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo. The Song of the Angels. And then, the Nunc Dimittis. I love that name. The Nunc Dimittis. Sounds forceful, manly. And it is. But it's the Song of Simeon. And there is your Latin lesson for the year. This Song of Elizabeth is sort of the unappreciated song of the five. This is the only one as far as I could find. Maybe you can do it better at Google searching than I can, but I could not find a Latin title for this song. And in fact, many of the lists of the songs in Luke only record those four songs and don't include this one. Not sure why that is, because all the reasons for understanding the other four as songs also apply here to Elizabeth's song, which is a shame, because this song, and understanding it as the opening to the other four songs, really helps us understand the beauty of Scripture. I say that because I hope as we go through this passage, we will all come away amazed at just how beautiful and perfect the Word of God is in telling us the glorious truth of our Savior. Mary, after receiving revelation from Gabriel that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, having also heard that she was pregnant, and this too, remember, was a miraculous conception because Zacharias, depending on your translation, and Elizabeth, they were very old. They were past their childbearing years. And so this too is a miraculous birth. And as women are wont to do, Mary goes to have a chat. She wants to talk with someone who's going through something similar. Not the same, of course, but something similar. She's not just going to a relative, but probably one of the very few people in the world that would actually believe her. Believe that she had been visited by the angel Gabriel, and that she was told that she would miraculously conceive the Messiah. I think that gets to how important the fellowship between believers is, as well as how tender and loving our triune God is, that He would provide for Mary a sister in the Lord to encourage Mary and to increase her faith. But those are the minor points to what we see in our text. As Mary comes into the house and greets Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaps for joy in his mother's womb at the sound of Mary's voice. The Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and speaks through her in song. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit says through Elizabeth is, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." There's a couple of things quickly to glean from this sentence. But before we do, we have to consider what that word blessed means. Blessed doesn't just simply mean happy. Maybe you've heard the Beatitudes translated that way, right? Happy are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted, and so on. But that word blessed, as I said, means far more than that. It is saying that the person is in a state or a condition of blessedness. And so for Elizabeth to say this to Mary, she's saying, among all women, you are blessed. For as she will go on to say, Mary is the mother of the Messiah. Certainly a blessing indeed. Mothers are probably going, man, I wish I had a perfect kid. But much more than that, to be the mother of the Messiah. Elizabeth also says, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now this tells us that Mary at this point is already pregnant with Jesus. That detail helps us with the storyline here. Mary is going to stay with Elizabeth for 3 more months. And then 6 months later, Jesus is going to be born. But more than that, Elizabeth is saying this precisely because this is what is true. We can think of what the Father says to Jesus at Jesus' baptism or on the Mount of Transfiguration. That this is His Son, in whom He is well pleased. William Hendrickson also notes, not only Mary, but also her Son, is the object of the Father's delight. And that is what Elizabeth is conveying to us in that first sentence of this song. All of which we would say yes and amen to. This is certainly true. Jesus is the beloved Son of God, and Mary is the most blessed among women. And then we come to verse 43. And let's try to grasp the height and the depth of these words. Elizabeth says, "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. This is the response of Elizabeth to Mary, pregnant with the Christ in her womb. Is this our response to the Christmas season? Shock, awe, wonder that the Son of God would come to save me, to be with me. I've heard it said that we are not to be surprised by the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. We should be amazed by that, astounded by that. But once Christ has come, we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus was going to do that. He's faithful. But we should be surprised that Jesus came at all, to save us who were condemned to die. And if this is Elizabeth's reaction to Mary and Jesus coming to visit her, how much more should this be our response to Christ coming and dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit? Ask yourself this question. Why is this salvation of Christ given to me? Why is Christ given to me? What would be your answer to that question? Why did Christ come to save me? If you begin to answer that question starting with yourself, then you have not understood the gospel of grace. There is no reason in yourself for why the Lord Jesus has come to you and come for you to die for you. The only proper answer to that question is because God so loved me. That's it. And that is a far better answer than starting with yourself, as Elizabeth understands here in this moment. For God choosing to love simply because He has chosen to love us in His grace means that He loves us with a true love, an unconditional love, a love that is beyond compare, a love that is pure. Love that is not tainted in any way with self-interest or seeking to gain something or an exchange. Elizabeth is overcome by the love and the grace of God that has been given to her. Think about this. She's been granted a child in her old age. She had lived her whole married life knowing that she was barren, but now is pregnant. She probably sang then too, but it's not recorded for us in Scripture. She in this moment doesn't sing about how great it is that her and Mary are pregnant at the same time. She sings because the Lord Jesus has come to her. Ask yourself this question. If someone were to capture the joy and hope that you have in your life in song, would it be about Jesus? Or would it be about you? Would it be about all the things or even people in this world that you take delight in? Or would it be about Jesus? What is your life song, in other words? Is it about Jesus? We also see that there is encouragement given by the Holy Spirit through Elizabeth to Mary to encourage her in her faith. She says to Mary in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." What a wonderful thing that must have been for Mary. And we clearly know that it is, because immediately after this statement, Mary then breaks into song and sings the Magnificat. Remember, the angels in Isaiah 6 are singing not only to God, but they're singing to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And here we have these two women doing essentially the same thing, singing to each other and to the Lord the glory of His grace. And how appropriate it is that in this moment their lives turn into a musical. They break forth into song. Because there is no greater way for them to show their love and appreciation for the grace that has been given to them by their God. Mary's faith is strengthened by this wonderful phrase in verse 45, that what Gabriel said to her would come true. But more than this, yes, Elizabeth and Mary are mutually built up and encouraged in their faith, but they are built up and breaking forth into song because of the joy and the hope that is within them, because of the promised Messiah's arrival in the womb of Mary. We see this in what Elizabeth says in multiple ways. First, we see that she has placed all of her hope and joy in this child who is her Lord. This is reminiscent of David in Psalm 110, where David calls his descendant his Lord. That not only would this child be a human being, but this child would also be God. This child that Elizabeth says is her Lord, that can only happen because this child is the God-man, the Messiah, the Christ. You have to understand that in that society and in that culture, they actually appreciated elderly people. We don't do that so much these days. Shame on us. But they appreciated the elderly people, and so they always saw those who were older as greater than those who were younger. That comes from the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. They saw that the generations who preceded them were greater than them. And so there would be no way possible that if this child was merely a human being, that Elizabeth, or certainly David, would call him Lord. Lord meaning master. That doesn't happen. But it does happen. Why? Because Jesus is the God-man. He is the Christ. We also see this encouragement from Elizabeth to Mary in this as well. We see that Mary is blessed because she has believed the word of God that has come to her. Earlier in the chapter, in verses 30 through 33, we read, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That is what Gabriel told her. She believed it. And she's encouraged in this. And Mary and now Elizabeth are full of hope and joy because of this truth that the Messiah has come. And this hope and joy is confirmed by the one who was to prepare the way for Jesus, John the Baptist. He leaps for joy in the womb of Elizabeth. John, whose name means Yahweh is gracious, even here proclaims by his leaping for joy in the womb that Yahweh is gracious. And we see that because Christ has come. Jesus has come. As we enter into this Christmas season, let's remember the reason for the season. Let us be filled with hope and joy because Christ has come and he has accomplished everything we need to be saved. Isn't it interesting that these women and John are so filled with joy before Jesus had even done anything? He had just simply come. We live in the time after Christ first appearing. We know what he has already accomplished for us. Is there any reason why our joy would be taken away from us? Think about that in this season. There's a lot of things in the world that we can worry about. We could be anxious about. A lot of things in our daily lives that we can be overcome by. Is there actually, though, any reason why our joy should be taken away from us? For is not our hope secure? Is not our hope secure? Did not Jesus say that he would go on before us to do what? Prepare a place for us. Our hope is secure. We know where we're going. We know how we'll get there. And we know who will be faithful to us all of our lives to bring us safely there. Is there any reason why we would lose our joy? Let it never be. for our salvation. The salvation of our bodies and our souls are held fast by the infinite bonds of God's covenant faithfulness. And we see that in the coming of our Savior. And so this season, it is a season of hope and joy. Let's not forget how secure and glorious our hope is, and that we truly have every reason to be filled with joy. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanks and praise in our heart for the great joy that has been given to us and the sure hope of our salvation provided for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray that when things arise in our lives that would seek to snatch our joy, that we would remember the sure hope that we have and the clear truth of the gospel, that Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us, and that He has come and has died in our place and was raised again on the third day, so that we would dwell with you now and throughout all eternity, that we would walk before your glorious presence all the days of our lives and on into eternity. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ to put to death our old nature and to give us second birth. Lord, fill our hearts, our minds with song, that we would join with the women that have gone before us and all the saints and with the angels in heaven in singing the glories of your grace. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.